if you have your Bibles, am I on, Wayne? Microphone on, am I on? Okay. If you have your Bibles, if you would open to Revelation chapter 13 as we continue our study through the book of Revelation. We left off last week because of Easter, Resurrection Sunday, we left off and did a special message for that, but we're back to the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 13, we're going to be going through verses 1 through 10. So if you'd like to follow along, and I'd like to ask you to stand wherever you are in honor of God's Word as we read this here together. And the dragon stood on the shore of the sea, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea, and he had 10 horns and 7 heads with 10 crowns on his horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but he had feet like those of a bear and mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and his great authority. And one of the heads of the beast seemed to have a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was astonished and followed the beast. Men worshipped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast, and they had also worshipped the beast and asked, "Who is like the beast? Who could make war against him?" The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise his authority for 42 months. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling and place and those who live in heaven. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. He was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, who was slain before the creation of the world. He who has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to go into captivity he will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword he will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints. Father, I come to you this morning, and I thank you, Lord, that we have this opportunity to look at this from our perspective where we are right now, seeing this as something that is coming. And Lord, all the more as we see that day approaching, we are to spur one another on towards love and good deeds and to share the good news with people all around us, because this day is coming. I think just in the past few months, we've seen what can happen to a world so quickly. And this will happen quickly as well. And this world will be turned upside down. And the church will be a terrible place to be, because the authority of the evil one will be lifted up on this earth. And it will be a tragic, horrible, terrible time. Lord, we just pray that we will take this to heart and that we will use this, Father, to reach out to people all around us, because they need to know that Jesus is alive and that he has the plan for them to save them and to make them whole and new. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in chapter 12, a couple of weeks ago, we saw the dragon, Satan himself, who was thrown out of heaven. In this chapter, we see his earthly spokesperson, the Antichrist. He's called the beast, or in other translations, he called the man of sin. This man will be completely possessed by Satan himself and will do the bidding of the devil. He has always wanted to be God, but he never will be. And so he tries to duplicate what God does. God sent Jesus as the visible image of the invisible God. The devil will send the Antichrist as the visible image of the devil. He will be a living, breathing revelation of the devil in the flesh. Because there's a Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Satan will try to imitate God in that manner. The Antichrist will imitate God the Son, and the false prophet, which we will also soon meet, imitates the Holy Spirit. You see, Satan has always wanted to be like God. He has always wanted to be worshipped. He has always wanted people to bow down to him. But in the end, he will be cast into the lake of fire forever. I want you to see, first of all, this morning, the appearance of the beast. Look again in verses 1 and 2. And I saw the beast coming out of the sea. He had 10 horns, 7 heads, 10 crowns on his horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but he had feet like those of a bear and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast power and his throne and his great authority. So the origin of the beast is that he rises up out of the sea. The word here used signifies a sea of people. It means out of a mass of humanity. One person arises more than any others. In other words, he will come from among men, but he will be endowed with great evil power to deceive the nations. Now, folks, there have been people like this around before who have deceived nations. There have been people who have been raised up and have assumed power to do evil in this world. But this one will surpass them all. He's not a supernatural being, but he will be led completely by the supernatural being of Satan himself, by the evil one. He will be cunning. He will be crafty. He will be manipulative. Why? Because that's what Satan is. He is cunning, he is crafty, and he's manipulative. And he will deceive every single person that he can. His operation, it tells us again in those verses we just read, that he has 7 heads. This comes from Revelation chapter 17. When we get there, we'll see it. But the 7 heads are 7 hills on which the woman sits. This is the great harlot, or the apostate church, that will dominate the world religion during the tribulation. And she sits on the 7 hills. The reasonable picture here is the city of Rome, leading many to speculate that this one world religion will be like the Catholic Church, which is based in Rome. It won't necessarily be the Catholic Church, but it will be a religion that will be like that. And they will ask people to bow down to the beast. 10 horns. Not 10, T-I-N, but T-E-N. 10 horns are a symbol of power and authority. Revelation 17:9 continues to tell us that these 10 horns are the 10 kings, or the 10-nation alliance that will come underneath the beast and be subject to him. The 10 crowns. These 10 kings have great authority and power. The Antichrist will arise from among this confederation of 10 powerful kings, most likely controlling the finances of this world. Now, I want you to understand something. We always think about those nations that seem to have firepower. Right now we think of those nations that control nuclear weapons. We think of those that have huge armies. We think of nations like that and think, these are the powerful nations of the world. But you can see what has happened just in the few weeks and a couple of months that we've gone through in this world, how things can change drastically. And you know, when the economy fails, everything's going to go different. Everything's going to go sideways. Everything's going to be a struggle. And the countries that seem to have everything together will be countries that will start to fall apart. And it's going to take someone with the acumen of the economy to understand how to get this world back to where they think it needs to be. Well, this guy is going to come on and he's going to have all the answers. At least from man's perspective. He's going to have all the answers for how to get the economy going again. He's going to have a one world government that will start to look over this world and say, listen, if you want this world to succeed, you've got to let me show you how. And he's going to be so deceptive, and he's going to be so powerful, and he's going to be so erudite, and he's going to look like he's got everything together, and he's going to be a great person of being able to speak. He's going to speak multiple languages. He's going to be able to take everything and speak it in such a way that people are just going to go, wow, where's this guy been for so long? We need him, and we will follow him. That's just like the evil one. He is slick. He is charismatic. He's manipulative. He's going to try and fool everybody, and he's going to do a great job. It goes on to say that he has name, he names, uses the blasphemies of names. These world leaders will stand in open defiance of all that is holy and that has to do with God. In other words, this beast is going to stand and say, listen, this God that everybody's been talking about for all these years is not real. I mean, what has he really done for you? Look at this world. It's in heaps. It's in would a God who really loves you let this happen to you?
People are
going to
hear that and go, wow,
he's right. If God really was a God of love, would he let all this happen to us?
The problem is that
all of this has happened because we have not accepted God. We have not followed his way. His way is truth and right. His way is always the right way. But people will forget that. They'll want immediate gratification. They will want something that will fix it right now. And they will not want to wait and see what God's going to do to take care of this whole situation. And so these leaders of the world will begin to blaspheme God. And they will tell people that he's not real. And they will call him all kinds of ungodly names. Now, this beast is mentioned having a body like a leopard. Now, it's not really going to be spotted like a leopard. But what it's a picture of is also goes back into the book of Daniel. But it's a leopard is going to rise to power swiftly. Why? Because he's like a fast land animal. He's going to come to power swiftly. The actual word leopard here could also be translated cheetah, which is the fastest land animal. In other words, he's going to come on the scene, and once people hear him, and once people see him, and once people get to know who he is, they're going to follow him wholeheartedly quickly. It's going to happen quickly. He's also going to have feet like a bear. This is a picture of the fact that he will crush his opponents with the strength of a bear. In other words, anyone who stands up against him, he's not going to say, now, let's just sit down and talk about this. He's going to say, get rid of him now. And anybody who stands up against him will be eradicated. You can count on it. Lastly, he's going to have a mouth like a lion. Now, what this literally means is he's going to be overpowering, and he will devour all who will stand in his way. Everybody's going to think this guy's got everything together. He's going to be good looking. He's going to talk so amazing. He's going to have a great oratory. He's going to be able to lay out his plans and make them sound like they're the best plans that have ever been. But if anyone stands in opposition to him, he will devour them. He will take them out, and they will not be able to stand against him any longer. Now look at the second part of verse 2. It says, the whole world has, verse 2 says, the great beast, having resembled a leopard, feet like a bear, mouth like that of a lion, the dragon gave this beast his power, his throne, and his great authority. So how will he operate? We saw that. Now, how will he officiate? He will rule the world, but not by his own power. He couldn't do it by his own power. Satan will empower him with his power, his throne, and his great authority. Now, let me tell you something, folks. When the beast opens his mouth, he will not be speaking. It will be Satan himself. Can you imagine that? This world will finally hear the hatred and the pouring out, the spewing out of the rage that Satan has towards God. And it will come from the mouth of the beast. Satan will empower him. We must remember this very important fact. No one has any authority unless God has allowed it. Now you might say, well, how could God let this happen? How could God let Satan have all this power over people? It's all part of God's plan, folks. If you don't want to be a part of that plan, get a part of his plan right now. You see, God has continuously, from the beginning of time, called people to Himself. And yet people continue to say no. People continue to say, well, maybe later. People continue to say, well, I'm not really sure. And God, over and over and over again, through the prophets, through His Word, through the commandments, through His law, have told people who He is and what He's all about, and people don't want to have anything to do with Him. And so then He sent His Son, the visible image of the invisible God, and guess what they did to Him? They crucified Him. But now people are going to be saying, well, if there was really a God, why didn't He do something? He has! He already has! God allows this to go on. You know how I know that? Because everything's under God. He is in all power. He has all authority. And He's given that through Christ. But this is going to go on here on this earth. What the Antichrist will do does not take God by surprise, nor should it surprise any of God's children. Folks, I'm telling you something. It's right here. It's in God's Word. We have God's Word for a reason. And one reason is so we can see what's coming, but the most important reason is so we can tell people what's coming. And there's going to be a lot of people who hear messages like this, who hear this word, and go, oh, it's not really going to be like that. Let me tell you something, folks. When God's Word says something, it will happen just like that. And those just people like that are going through it at that point will go, wow, why didn't somebody tell us? God did. And He continues to tell people. He's not slow. Listen, folks, He's not slow in bringing to pass what He needs to bring to pass for salvation of people. He's not slow. He's giving us time. He's giving us time to tell people about Jesus. So first of all, we see the appearance of the beast. Secondly, we start to see the achievements of the beast. Look at verses 3 and 4. Excuse me. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was astonished and followed the beast. Men worshipped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast. And they also worshipped the beast and asked, who is like the beast? Who can make war against him? He receives the world's wonder. At some point during the Antichrist's reign, he will die, and then miraculously, he'll be brought back to life. And you might say, well, how's that going to happen? We don't know. It doesn't say how that's going to happen, but we do know it is going to happen because God's Word says it is. But it's another way the evil one wants to imitate Jesus. Only when this man comes back to life, he'll be like Lazarus. He's going to die again. In other words, Jesus is the only one who died and rose again forever. He is the firstborn over all creation. He is the one who stands as testimony to all people that Jesus is the Lord. He is the Christ. He is God. But this Antichrist, even though he recuperates, he comes back, and they might put him on a table and zap him with pads or whatever it's going to take, and he's going to come back, and the whole world's going to go, oh, wow, he's alive again. He's still going to die. You know how I know that? Because God's Word says it. Hebrews 9, verse 27 says, just as people are destined to die once, and after that, they will face judgment. We're all going to die. We all have to face that. You might say, well, weren't there a couple of people in the Old Testament that didn't have to die? Yeah, they got taken up to heaven. God has prerogative to do what He wants to. But the Scripture says that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. There is a date. There is a time. There's nothing you can do about it that's set for you. The only out on that is this. If you're alive when the rapture comes, you're going to be taken straight to heaven. This physical body will die. Somehow it's going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the trumpet, it's going to be changed. And we will be made like Him. But this physical body will die. It will be changed. He's going to receive the world's wonder. He's also going to begin to receive, look at what verse 4 says, He's going to begin to receive the world's worship. Now folks, I can't think of anything more heinous than this, more tragic than this. Men began to worship the dragon, Satan himself, because he had given authority to the beast, and they also worshiped the beast. And began to say, who's like him? Who could make war against him? In other words, they began to glorify him as though he was God. That's what Satan has always wanted. He's always wanted to be lifted up like God. And that's why he fell in the first place. The world will be persuaded by his feats, by the things that he does, by him coming back from being dead. And they will begin to give him their worship. Folks, there's nothing more tragic than the fact that people will begin to worship something that does not deserve to be worshipped. To worship someone who is not worthy of it. And they will begin to worship Him. What's amazing is they will be so lost that they will give to the Antichrist what they refused to give to the one who paid the ultimate price for them. Now, I don't know. I'm just saying. Here's the options. I can worship the God of the universe who loved me so much that He gave Himself up for me, that He took on all my sin upon the cross. He paid the ultimate sacrifice. He was crucified, beaten. Everything that you could imagine could happen to Him happened to Him. The Scripture says He was beaten so bad that you couldn't even recognize Him. He took on the sins of the whole world and He died. But then He rose again. You can either choose to follow Him who loved you so much to do that for you, or you can choose to follow the beast who hates you. His whole, the Scripture says, this is His modus operandi. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now you have a choice. I don't know about you, but I think the choice is really clear. You can either choose God and live forever, or you can choose Satan and die forever. You know, Satan is so manipulative. He somehow wants to make people think that, hey, if you die and go to hell, it's just going to be one big party. You can do anything you want to there. It's going to be a big party, and everybody's going to be drunk all the time, and everybody's going to do anything they want to do, and you know, if you want it, you can have it. Listen, folks, that's not what hell's going to be like at all. Scripture's clear what hell's going to be like. It's going to be a place where people wish they could die and they can't. They're going to be tortured continuously forever. Now, why would you want to go to a place like that? God doesn't want you to go there. He made a way so you don't have to. He made a way when there seemed to be no way. The way is Jesus. He is the way and the truth and the life. No one's going to come to the Father except through Him. He has asked and asked for you to trust in Him. But Satan is going to try to confuse people in such a manner that they think that they need to follow the beast. Thirdly, this morning, the activities of the beast. It's listed to us in verses 5 through 8. The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise his authority for 42 months. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. He was given authority over every tribe, people, nation, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the book of life belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. He who has an ear, let him hear. Now listen, folks. He's going to begin by defying God. He's going to defy God. He's going to blaspheme God. Now you might say, how could God allow that? How could God allow someone to stand and call God the worst names ever and say God is not real and he doesn't love you and he doesn't care about you? If he did, he'd be here right now taking care of you. But he's not here. I am. How could God allow that to happen? Because God is bigger than these things that are going on in this world.
And He's already made the way.
And He's already proclaimed through His Son, Jesus Christ, that He loves us. Every single day that we are alive, He's proclaiming to you that He loves you. Period. No strings attached. Unconditional love. He loves you with His whole heart. He's like the father who's looking for the prodigal son. And when he sees him coming, he runs to him and he hugs him and he kisses him. And even though the son said, Dad, I don't deserve this. I was wrong. He says, come in, you are my son. This evil one will begin to persuade people with his oratory skills. He will be a great speaker. He will begin to, by the power of the words in his mouth, persuade people. Now folks, there have been some men in the world who've been so good at their speeches that people would follow them anywhere and do anything they say. This man will be the best.
He speaks.
People will listen. He'll be able to persuade people with his oratory skills. In fact, Hitler once said, and that's a great person, isn't it? You say something long enough and loud enough, people will eventually believe you. He will blaspheme God openly, and the world will listen and begin to follow
God.
They have a choice, but they will choose to follow Him. And then He will start a mission of trying to destroy all the saints. The beginning of verse 7 tells us this. He's going to make it His mission to eradicate anyone who still worships
God.
You're either going to worship me or you're out of here. I'm taking you out. You don't have a choice. He will not be able to touch the 144,000. We already know that. We've been through that in our study. Or the two witnesses who are still going to be standing in Jerusalem and preaching the gospel of Jesus. But everyone else who does not bow down to him, will be put to death because they will not take the mark of the beast that's spoken about in verses 15 and 16. And we'll see that next week. See, because when you take the mark of the beast, it's so that you can buy and sell and purchase. And that means if you don't take the mark of the beast, you're not going to be able to go to the grocery store and buy anything. You're not going to be able to buy seed to plant at your own place. You're not going to be able to do anything. And so if you don't take the mark of the beast, you're basically saying, I'm going to die. In fact, that's what Scripture says. If you trust Jesus, you'll have to die for Him at this point. But all others who do not bow to Him will be put to death because they will not take the mark of the beast. Then He will dominate the nations. Every portion of the world will be under His authority. And anyone who does not bow down will pay the price. Now we read two weeks ago that God will also protect the nation of Israel. And He will have a safe haven place for them. And specifically these 144 Jewish evangelists who've been preaching Jesus to the whole world. But everyone else who will not bow their knee to the evil one will be put to death. He will dominate the nations. He will deceive the masses. Look at what it says in verse 8. And I think this is interesting. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the book of life belonging to the Lamb that was slain before the creation of the world. He who has an ear, let him hear. Now let me be very clear on this. If you recall back in Revelation chapter 3, it talks about the Lamb's book of life. And the people that are in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Scripture says their name will not be blotted out of it. So how does that line up with this? How does that make sense here? Well, it's specifically And we'll look at it again when we get to it, but there are more than one book in the book of Revelation. The Lamb's Book of Life has everybody's name in it. And the only way that their names can be taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life is if they don't trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. In other words, God wants all people to be saved. But there will be those who will not trust Him, will trust the beast. They will trust themselves. They will trust in finances. They will trust in everything else except Jesus. And they will be the ones who will die without Him. All people without Christ will bow before this ruler, look at this, with words of worship. They will begin to give Him the honor that God deserves. They will somehow believe the lies of the evil one, just like man, without Christ. Every person who does not have God in their life will be caught up in the lie of the evil one. And they will begin to worship this beast. They will believe the lies of the evil one, just like anyone who doesn't have Christ in their life. And then he concludes with this word, whoever has ears, let them hear. Jesus had said this the same multiple times in the first three chapters of Revelation. Listen, folks, God is saying this right now for all of us to hear. Do you have ears? Then you need to hear this.
This is what's coming.
Now, I don't enjoy standing here talking about this because it's a horrible time. It's a time, the Great Tribulation is a time like this world has never faced. We've been through a lot, but it will be nothing like what's coming. I mean, just think about it. The last couple of months, we think this whole world has changed because of a virus.
Can you imagine what it's going to be like
when all the things that are going to be unleashed during the Revelation, the Great Tribulation? Can you imagine what this world's going to come to? It's going to be a people who are absolutely berserk. I mean, it's not going to be like people waiting in line to get a roll of toilet paper. It's like people that are going, I mean, they are trying anything they can come up with to try to live, even to the point of killing other people and taking lives to try to save their own. It says here at the end, this calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of God's people that are still here on this earth. Now, we know what happens. We know that all of this is going to take place. God is not holding anything back. He's telling us the truth so that we can do something about it. Here's the couple of options that we have. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, this is your option.
Tell people about Jesus.
Unfortunately, over the course of the last, oh, say, 50, 60 years, the church in the United States specifically has taken their focus off the world and taken their focus to the church themselves. And we've begun to look inwardly. We try to take care of each other. We have our fellowships. We have our Bible studies. We do all those things. And we just love being a part of each other's lives. But our focus has gotten off of this world, which is exactly what the Great Commission of Jesus was, to go and tell people.
We quit
going and telling. We started coming and enjoying. And I can't help but believe that maybe some of the things that we're going through right now is causing us to get our eyes back where they need to be on people all around us. Do you have a little bit softer heart for your neighbors right now?
For people who really don't have things that they need?
For elderly people who can't get out of the nursing home right now or have anyone come in and see them? For people who are homebound now because of this virus and they can't, I mean, folks, this should shake us to a point of seeing that God is still in the business of reaching out to this world in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world.
And we are His ambassadors.
So we are either going to take this on
as God's people, like He asks us to do, like He commands us to do, or we can live a selfish life and allow people who are dying and will eternally die, allow them to do so without even telling them about Jesus.
Just remember, we will all stand before God and give an account.
Will you have blood on your hands? Will I have blood on my hands of not taking the good news to
everyone I could?
Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. No one will come to the Father except through Him. God has called us all, not just pastors, not just staff members, not just deacons. God has called us all to be witnesses.
And I pray that
we will be. Maybe some of you are listening today or watching online or whatever, and you might say, well, what does that have to do with me? I don't really know that I have a relationship with Jesus. You can. It's very simple.
God,
it's so straightforward.
So much.
He allowed His own Son to take on all your sin on the cross and pay for every one of them. Can you imagine that? I can't even imagine all the sins I've committed in my life.
But why should He have to pay for me?
Why should He have to endure my sin?
Because He loves me so much.
He loves you so much. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, that word believe doesn't mean just believe that He existed. It means put your trust.
I'll give
a quick example, and then I'll be through. Putting your trust in someone is like looking at a chair and saying, if I sit down in that chair, it'll hold me up. I trust that chair to hold me up. Now, it may and might not. But there's one person you can trust with everything.
Why?
Within
because
you.
Because He came
with no sin and became sin for us, that we could be made the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. God loves you so much that He says, listen, you can't carry your sin. You can't pay for your sin, but I can. I am the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So I will take your sins upon me. And I will die on the cross, and I will pay for your sins through this punishment of being separated from my Father, so that you can have eternal life. If you never trusted Jesus, why would you wait any longer? The time is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. I mean, just look around at what's happening in this world. I mean, if you're one who keeps putting things off and keeps saying, well, maybe someday I will, you may not have a someday. When you say, maybe someday I will, what you're saying is, today I won't. Would you please consider giving your life to Jesus right now, right where you are? Would you pray with me?